We are back on In Focus. We're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. Brandon Peoples with you this morning. And joined on the phone by Emily Wagner. She's the Executive Director of the Manhattan Emergency Shelter Incorporated. Emily, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me, Brandon.
Well, we've caught up with a lot of different folks in our community over the last couple weeks about how they've been impacted by this COVID-19 pandemic. We haven't heard yet from the emergency shelter, and I know we spoke last week. Still had a lot of questions at that point, but what have you learned here as far as how this is impacting the shelter?
Sure. Well, I will say we still have a lot of questions. I get new guidance every day, and changing guidance every day of things that we are supposed to be doing, but so kind of where we're at this point and how we're operating, we're trying to, one, protect our clients and our staff that work here. We're not able to close, and we still, as long as we have occupancy, are still taking new clients. So we have to essentially have a place of triage when people come in. We have questionnaires. We will, as soon as we get thermometers, we will be having to take temperatures of our clients here. So it's interesting. We're having to limit who comes in our front office. So right now the doors are closed and locked, and we have our call button out front. We're kind of dealing with the public through those call buttons, having donations dropped off on a table outside that we will then go out and gather. So we're trying to keep operating as normal as possible, and then put all these safeguards in place.
Now it's interesting because I've been to your office there, and it's not a big space there, so it could fill up pretty quickly.
Yes, they can, and we are filling up. We have had to reduce our occupancy slightly in order to be able to conform with the quarantine guidelines. We have to have a place of quarantine in the shelter, and also just being able to practice social distancing in a building where we can have this many people living at the same time is difficult to do. And so in order to be able to do that, to protect our clients and staff, we did have to reduce the amount of people that we can have in each room. But at this point, we haven't seen any issues with doing that. We still have space available for people to check in. That has really slowed down. And so I think the moratorium on evictions is helping that. And we'll see how things go when this is all over. Though that is my concern at this point, being able to just kind of take care of all those people that are behind in rent when that moratorium is no longer in place.
Yeah, that is going to be a major concern, I know, for a lot of folks. And probably good news that moratorium has been put in place here, but we'll see if that gets extended. I know we live kind of in a transient community. Have you seen, or are we seeing a lot of people still coming in from out of state at this point, or has that gone down?
We are getting a few people coming from out of state, which I will tell you makes me nervous because you know, the homeless population is often just very transient and mobile, and so trying to figure out where these people, you know, have been and where they're coming from and if they have symptoms and trying to make sure everyone is safe here is difficult. But we have had a few that have had some travel outside of the state. The shelter here in Manhattan does have some rules and policies on transients, though, and they're not afforded a stay as long as community members that are needing our services. And so those stays are usually pretty short, and we have been trying to find alternative housing and placement for some of those individuals if they don't need to be here in the community and they're just wanting to travel through. So right now we haven't seen a huge surge of anyone coming, but I'm expecting that will come here after a few months.
And there's so many questions from a lot of different aspects right now, but do you have to report that to the health department at this point? Because I'm sure they're probably wanting to limit as much exposure from people coming in from out of state as possible.
Right. We're not required to report that at this point to the health department, just if we have someone here with symptoms, whether they're checking in or they're already a client that then develops symptoms. And so I have been working with the Riley County Health Department, and they've been great to help kind of get us some supplies and get us things that we need, because we are not normally healthcare workers. This is not something that we're used to doing. And so, you know, being asked to triage our clients and kind of go through these health questionnaires and assess someone's symptoms is not something that a lot of us are comfortable with, but we're learning as we go.
Yeah. Well, and I know there's been some other some other things here that have come up. You have a big fundraiser you plan every April, the Bag Lady Auction. And I guess that's off at this point, huh?
That is off at this point, yes. And you know, we met, my board of directors met last night, and we have decided that at this point it is canceled, and we will look at rescheduling. But at this time, I don't know if that's feasible and or when that might be. Maybe this fall, but I have a feeling that lots of things will be rescheduled for this fall. So we'll see how it goes. I'm confident, though, we have a great community and we have great community support, and that I am so thankful for that, especially during this time. And so I think we'll be okay. I hope that we can make up those fundraising dollars through community donations if we're not able to have the fundraiser, because fundraising for the shelter is so important. That is the money. Those are the dollars that we can use to fill in the holes, fill in all the gaps, plug in all the holes, and use for things like insurance and just things that we need to keep the shelter open and operating. And so to not have that unrestricted money is a huge detriment to the shelter. And hopefully, though, and you know, we've been seeing some donations come in. I'm hoping in the next couple months, as people kind of get used to this new normal and start seeing the impact that some of the agencies are having by losing these fundraising dollars, we'll be able to bring in some of that money and recoup some of those dollars.
What does that auction typically bring in? Because it was a significant mm-hmm. amount last year.
Yeah, we bring in between $30,000 and $35,000 for that event.
Okay, well, hopefully, I agree with you. The community always comes together in times of need, and hopefully, if someone's listening and is able to donate, they can donate to the emergency shelter. As far as donations to the shelter, you know, like supplies, how is that being conducted right now?
Sure. So we have our donation door on our Yuma Street entrance, and right now we have a table set up out there because all of our office doors are locked. And so there's a call button. If you have a donation for us, we just ask that you alert us through that call button, that you're leaving a donation on that table, and then we will come out and get it and record, you know, all of that information. So we're still able to take donations right now, though. We are only taking donations of food and cleaning supplies. Because we just don't have the time, one, or the manpower. Our staff is down to kind of a skeleton crew at this point. And so dealing with the rest of the donations right now is just not our priority. We've got so many other things that we're dealing with.
Well, I know there's going to be a lot of challenges here. And I'm curious if, I'm just thinking off the top of my head here, as far as capacity for placing people who may experience homelessness, have they been reaching out or anything like that? Or have you reached out to hotels or dorms mm-hmm. at K-State?
Sure. We have not. We've not heard from any of them, but I also have not reached out yet. We do work with the hotels some in normal operating times. You know, there are times when we're full and we need to then utilize a hotel room for a short stay. And we may get to that. We've been waiting. We have some plans in place, but we're seeing how this develops in Riley County. If there is a quarantine site available to the community, if something is opened at Potter Hall or something like that, where we've had mass shelter kind of opened before in times of emergency, if that happens, then that will definitely make things easier on us, because we will have somewhere for those individuals to go and be quarantined. But at this time, you know, our plan will be to work with the hotels when we get to that point and need to maybe find placement for someone and without having room here.
Yeah. Well, I know there's a lot of things you don't have a lot of answers to just yet, because mm-hmm. we just don't know how long this pandemic's going to last. Is there anything else maybe I haven't touched on that you'd like to to chat about?
You know, I don't think so. I really want to express my staff and my board, the shelter as a whole, our appreciation for the community. We have had, you know, donations of cleaning supplies and non-perishable foods coming in daily, which is so great. I will tell you, one of my worries is being kind of closed up and quarantined here with a house full of people. We will have 50-some people possibly in the building at once, and just having enough non-perishable foods and food, that sort of thing, being able to limit how many people we have coming in and out of the building. So those donations are just critical to us right now. And so, you know, expressing my thanks to the community for kind of sticking with us. And as long as we all work together, I think we'll all be okay.
Absolutely. Well, keep up the good work out there, and hopefully things will change in the future. And let us know if there's anything else we can do to ever give you some support out there.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right. Again, Emily Wagner, Executive Director of the Manhattan Emergency Shelter Incorporated, joining us here on In Focus. We sure appreciate that. That's near and dear to my heart. I feel for anyone who's ever experienced homelessness, and boy, they do such good work out there.
You know, you're right when you talk about, you know, there's hardly any facet that has not been touched by the COVID-19 situation. And even those that are in, you know, some of the most challenging times of their year outside of the health risks associated with the virus is a whole new deal. And I think one of the things that's, we're seeing a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel with grocery stores.
Mm-hmm,
yeah. And stores that sell those types of goods, we're starting to see less and less hoarding. I think all the people that have been hoarding have gotten everything that they think that they need. And so now, you know, I went in the other day and I found a couple more things that I needed that I wasn't able to find before.
That's good news.
So hopefully that's the situation. We do want to remind our listeners, Brandon, about the Red Cross Blood Drive. It's the K-State Drive. It's happening starting here in just a couple of minutes at the Holiday Inn at the campus, which is just across the Student Union on Anderson Avenue. And that is from 10 to 4:30 today, and then again tomorrow from 10 to 4:30. And, boy, let's see if we can go past their goal as they did here yesterday. That would be a nice thing to do.
Yeah.
Got a note here. Boy Scout Troop 74 had their pancake feed scheduled for this Saturday. They have canceled that. And they say that their tickets will be good for their fall pancake feed. So hang on to those. Get a little magnet and put them on the refrigerator. The teacher parades begin here in about half an hour. And the first one that I know of that starts is at Amanda Arnold. And a lot of folks, a lot of the schools are starting to do this. And if you are a parent and want to find out more about this, most of the schools, from what I've seen, are starting to list the route that they will take on their respective Facebook pages. So there's one that's going on at Ware Elementary. There's one in Westmoreland, as well as many of the schools here in Manhattan. And St. George is doing something. And also something, have you seen the teddy bear parade? I guess it's called a teddy bear parade. It's kind of a spinoff of a book. And people are putting teddy bears in their windows.
Oh, nice.
And when the kids see them, it's almost kind of like a Pokemon Go search, you know, you try to find the teddy bears and note the address or something like that. So some neat things that people in the community are doing in light of everything that their, you know, typical routine doesn't allow.
I've noticed Christmas lights going up, too. Some yep. people are doing that.
I think Corey did that at his place.
Did he? Okay.
Yeah. We do want to remind our listeners at 5 o'clock, Rodney County Health Department Director Julie Gibbs is going to be joining us for an updated report. MHKTogether.org is a great way to help if you can. KansasTogether.com is a state effort that has information about how you as a person or as a family and also as a business and how the state has systems set up for you. Brandon, thank you much. Good job this morning. And thanks to everybody that participated, Ann, Cliff, and Barry, and Emily. Lots of information. Hang in there, folks. We'll get through it.